Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Debbie Gangese of the Petowitz Group, and welcome to the Demand Generation Essentials Series. Each week, we start off with AC/DC Back in Black, because what we're all about are creating demand generation superstars. What we do every week in the 12-week series is we bring to you an interview with a real demand generation practitioner. Now, this is not someone telling you what you should be doing, but someone talking to you about how they actually did it. Today's show is number 11 of 12, and today our guest is Sally Lowry of Bronto Software. And I'm very excited about this interview because Sally is going to share with us her approach to testing and experimentation, something we don't do enough of as marketers, and how that testing and experimentation has yielded her a measurable impact on revenue. Now, today's show is a little bit different because this one is pre-recorded rather than being live. And the reason we decided to do it this way is I actually met Sally over the summer while we were doing the Online Marketing Summit tour. And I also recently heard her speak at the Marketo Customer Conference. And I just was blown away by her story and felt that it would be perfect for this particular segment around testing and experimentation. So Sally's been good enough to kind of get her schedule to where she can do this pre-recorded session with us. And so we are going to introduce her and get straight into our interview. Now, let me tell you about her. Sally is the Director of Lead Acquisition, love that title, at Bronto Software. And this is really interesting because Bronto Software, as many of you probably know, is a leading email service provider who has bought a lead management tool, which is very interesting. In her role, she manages tactical and strategic lead acquisition, multi-channel marketing, which we all need to be doing, and the integration of marketing concepts. Many of her white papers on email marketing, multi-channel marketing, analytics and automation have been published by E-Commerce News, Email Marketing Reports, Practical E-Commerce, Demand Gen Report, and also Magilla Marketing. She has over 11 years of extensive experience in traditional and online marketing in both the B2B and B2C space. So, Sally, we are so pleased to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I got to tell you, I'm intrigued. Director of Lead Acquisition. So tell me a little bit about that title, your role, and Bronto.
Certainly. So my role at Bronto encompasses everything from the acquisition of the lead to the qualification of the inbound leads to the marketing automation and nurturing of the lead. So basically throughout the lead life cycle, I'm managing, monitoring, optimizing campaigns around those leads. Bronto Software, as you mentioned, is an email service provider, and as an email service provider and knowing how relevant you need to stay to keep engaged with your leads, your prospects, your customers, we really felt a need to have marketing automation. We started filling this need and this pain about 2.5 years ago, and so we said, you know what, we want to do more. We want to stop leaving so many leads on the table. We want to be smarter about who we're following up with on a one-to-one basis, and we really said, okay, what do we need to do? And we looked at a lot of different demand gen automation systems, and we really settled on one that suited our needs, that had a good price point. And for us, as we were just beginning to launch this, we rolled it out. And since we are going to be talking about testing and tweaking and trying, we did a lot of that. And we found ourselves about 7 or 8 months ago outgrowing our current solution, and we actually switched to Marketo because we wanted to do even more, and we wanted to make it seamless between Marketo and Salesforce or whatever automation system that we used and Salesforce, and to really just be able to do it effortlessly, because the reality is I'm one person. We have a lot that we want to do, and we want it to be successful. successful. We want to see our return on investment. And we really struggled with that in some instances because we couldn't do as much as we wanted. We couldn't leverage it as much as we wanted. And we really didn't see a full view of what we had in our pipeline or in our data bank. And so we made the switch to Marketo. We haven't looked back since. We've been really pleased with our success. And ultimately, what we've been doing is a lot of trying and a lot of tweaking and a lot of trying again to be as successful as possible. And so I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about that today.
One of the things that I really enjoy is hearing your story of your own life cycle and how your competency around demand generation and how your needs became more sophisticated over time. And Sally, I think quite often marketers and companies, when they buy marketing automation, they think, okay, we bought it, let's go, no big deal. When really you grow this competency over time, and you clearly grow this competency with an attitude of experimentation. So clearly, you guys have done a lot migrating from, using your own solution to a early, more elementary marketing automation type system to grow up to Marketo, which gives you, much more feature functionality in the marketing automation space. So why don't we talk a little bit about your attitude of experimentation and testing and kind of what your experience has been with that?
Sure. So I think ultimately I'll tell you that one thing that I think is important to note is whenever you're starting your trip down marketing automation land, that you're really conscientious of, A, collaborating with sales and making certain that you're aware of how you want to utilize this really valuable tool, but also determining where you want to touch them. So outlining, what your lead life cycle is, what your sales prospect cycle is, what your customer cycle is. So their cycle may be very different than the way that you presented. And so I think that for us, when we first began, we saw ways that we knew we were touching people with multiple campaigns. We didn't have full insight into that. We wanted to be able to really know, okay, when are they coming back to our site? Be smarter about how we were targeting them and almost drown out the noise. And so when we first started, we really did a baseline. These are the things that are key and important to us. This is how we kind of see the lead life cycle right now. And I'll be honest with you, that has changed in 2.5 years. And started outlining, okay, where do we want to target people? And it wasn't all correct in the beginning. I mean, we sometimes touch people when we shouldn't have. And we sent out, irrelevant content to them when there are things that we could have done that was much more savvy, much more on the pulse of where they were within the cycle. And so when we first started our campaign, it really was, okay, here's the program, here's how we want to implement it, and how do we make it successful? And so it really was a baseline initial assessment of that. And so we did some scoring rolls, and we did some, if they do a free trial, then we also want to do a demo. If they do a demo, maybe we want to send them some product collateral. And over time, we trended the results and said, okay, what's proven successful for us, what hasn't? And by looking at that data, we were able to determine, okay, well, you know what, just because they want a free trial doesn't always mean they want a demo. Just because they want to request a demo doesn't always mean they want product collateral. And it was fine-tuning that system to make certain that we can continue to really drill down that pipeline, send the most valuable leads to our lead qualification team, and we've even changed that system a bit as well, so that they can convert. And we've seen an increase in our conversions to qualified leads or qualified opportunities by trending, tweaking, trying.
I love that. Trending, tweaking, trying. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to mess that up. That is great. So let me ask you this. So you guys started by building a baseline. And when you guys were building your baseline to get going with this, were you conscious that you were building a baseline and that there would be a fair amount of testing and trending and tweaking and trying that would be occurring?
You know, we weren't, and we made, as I told you, we stumbled along the way. We knew we wanted to identify a program. We wanted to roll out some rules. We were not as clean as we were in the second iteration of it, because you learn. You learn as you grow, and we learned that we weren't as programmatic as we needed to be. We were a little loose with it, so some of the trends were harder to gauge. Some of the, maybe we were drowning out too much noise, and we weren't really able to evaluate that as well as we wanted to. And so it was with the second iteration that we really sat down and we were much more emphatic about this is what we want to accomplish, you know, laying out business objectives, saying these are the business objectives that we have. We've identified what the lead life cycle should be. This is what it is now. This is what we want it to be in the future. And by doing that, we really were able to systematically say, okay, here's phase one, here's phase two, here's phase three for our company. And it's already yielding a significant increase in conversions and even reducing our amount of time to convert. So, yeah, we're being a lot smarter the second time around, but I have to say for our first try with not having quite as much direction as we did our second time around, we were still able to prove the value of marketing automation.
So let me ask you this because, I'm fascinated. If we go back to your first iteration and also your second iteration, tell me a little bit about how you actually gathered data so that you could identify the trends, tweak, and then retry.
Sure. So I think that the reality is that you take a look at your data bank and you kind of evaluate the health of it. So you say, okay, how many people do I have that haven't engaged with us in over 90 days? Are there ways that I can try to re-engage them? Am I not already doing that? Because you don't want to leave people outside of your brand. You want them to be considering you constantly. And so what we did is we took a look at our lead data bank overall. And we did this when we first started going with marketing automation because we said one thing we said was we have sales juggling too much. You know, we're bringing in a significant amount of leads every month, and we're not putting resources to those leads. So that resource could be marketing automation. For us, it was also a lead qualification team because we want our sales team focusing on sales. We want them really honed in on driving that revenue. And instead, we had them not only driving revenue, we also had them qualifying leads. And it became really difficult for them to hit their goals because they were balancing too much. So we took a look at our pipeline. What is our lead pipeline? Who's going against that lead pipeline? And so the thing we saw is we had a horrible conversion rate. And so we assessed, okay, why do we have that horrible conversion rate? And we determined there were two problems. One is we weren't drowning out the noise. We were sending everybody to the sales team. The other problem was we had the sales team really trying to manage too many things. And so it was in the low conversion rate that we were able to see. And then also we identified programs that really converted low because of the program. So whatever lead acquisition strategies we had, we were able to then cut some fat, say, you know what, this isn't doing well for us. It's not performing well for us just overall from a lead acquisition strategy. And so we said we're going to commit resources. We're going to commit marketing automation. We're going to commit a lead qualification team. And once again, we haven't looked back with that decision. We are committed to our lead qualification team. We're committed to our marketing automation, and we're committed to our sales team. And because we're committed to all of those three things and collaborating between the three, we've really seen a significant amount of success from that, down to conversion rate to, you know, ultimately sales.
So gosh, I have so many questions to ask you about that. So I love the fact that you guys took a look at, because again, you're now able to gather data with a marketing automation system, and you're able to pinpoint the areas that need to be addressed so that, you know, across the life of the lead, conversions can continue to improve. And clearly, as you stood back in your first iteration with marketing automation and took a look at the data, it was clear having sales focus on selling and not on qualifying was something important. And so you guys actually went out and created a lead qualification team. And Sally, I believe that team reports to you. Is that correct?
That is correct. We really wanted to be able to be good stewards of qualified leads. And so there's not a better team to look at it than the team that's actually bringing the leads in. I don't want to do programs and drive leads just to drive leads. I want to drive leads that I know are going to be engaged with our brands, that have pain for us around their current email service solution. And so we really were very dogged in saying, you know what, we want that lead qualification team to be over here so that we can say we are driving you guys qualified opportunities. And when we're not, we need to be better stewards of doing that. And it's really made it really nice to have sales and marketing collaboration. So instead of it's sales versus marketing, it's more of we have this component that is a little salesy, you know, but they sit in marketing, and it creates good conversations between the teams.
Excellent. I think that's excellent. And again, you know, part of what we've talked about is, you know, once marketing and the company really begins this journey with marketing automation, the role of marketing changes quickly and actually quite dramatically. And so here you are marketing with a lead qualification team, and you're really all about very high quality leads that convert very quickly to opportunities. So you're actually helping the sales team work what used to be the very top of their funnel. You're just extending the marketing reach into the very top end of the sales funnel so that sales can focus more on what they're best trying to do, and that's go out and close deals, not try to qualify stuff that's been thrown over the fence.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think that's great. So, again, a great example of how you took a look at the data and you made changes in your organization that, again, helped improve the quality of conversions. So, Sally, can you talk a few minutes about, because I've heard you mention this a number of times, and if you don't feel comfortable giving us real numbers, but a sense for how your conversion rates have improved over the last 2.5 years as a result of the marketing automation and the experiments and the trending tweaking and trying?
Sure. So one thing that we did as a company is we really fine-tuned also our qualification process. What makes an opportunity qualified? And that's changed over time. Also, we saw that, and the reason why I can't give you clear definitions is because we, as a sales organization, when in the early stages when they were qualifying opportunities, they would qualify at a different stage. They would qualify at a much later stage than we qualify now, because to us is an opportunity as someone who really wants to engage with us. Maybe their buying cycle isn't in the next 120 days. Maybe their buying cycle is 3 years out, but we think that they're important to us, and we want to continue having conversations with them, one-to-one, as well as one-to-many. And so for us, we saw a dramatic increase in conversions over time, not only because we changed the qualification criteria, because we reassessed what was important to us, but because even with that lift, we saw a lift as well in the number of opportunities once we said, you know what, we're not sending every lead to him. And I would say that I know that when we actually included Marketo Sales Insight into our mix, and we did that in the last quarter, I can share with you that we improved our conversion rate by 125%. 32.8%, which is pretty significant. But we actually changed our time frame as well. So, you know, doing an average of 9 days to convert, we were able to decrease that by 4 days to convert. And so our average time frame improved by 125%. And that was just with the Sales Insight component.
That's amazing. And so the metric on 32.8% conversion, what was that converting from and to? Was that to closed business?
That was actually to qualified opportunity. So from a lead to a qualified lead.
Okay, perfect. That is simply outstanding. So I'm curious. So one of the things you had mentioned is that when you first began this journey 2.5 years ago, you really didn't begin the journey with, let's experiment and see what we don't know. You really kind of didn't realize you didn't know what you didn't know. And over the last 2.5 years, as you guys have used two different systems and have migrated to a much more sophisticated model using marketing automation. How has that journey been with when you go tell your executive management, we're experimenting and we don't have all the answers right now? How did you communicate that with senior management?
I'm actually in a very, I think, unique situation where we have a company that believes in experimentation. Email marketing is all about experimentation, and email marketing is a pivotal component of marketing automation. And so I think that the reality is we had a great executive team who bought into the concept from the beginning. And as it proved itself, they were able to pour more resources into it. But the reality is that as long as you're trending data and you're trending your conversion rates, you're trending the sales that are closed and won through the acquisition programs that you have, and showing that, you know, we made it healthier by doing marketing automation, it sells itself. I mean, it's just like actually while I was at the user conference, we did Sales Insight for Marketo through our Salesforce integration, and people were asking a lot of questions about how do I sell this to my sales team. And the reality is and if for those not familiar with Sales Insight, is it gives you full insight into where your lead has been, what they've done, how they've interacted with your brand. And it was just basically like, you know what, you don't have to convince your sales team. They're going to see it and they're going to want to use it daily. And I think that was really the same for us with marketing automation, because they know how important it is to be able to not have it all figured out, because you don't want campaigns on autopilot. Because if you have it all figured out, you know, what am I here for? You know, if we have it all figured out, then I'm not really a necessity at this company. And the reality is we don't have it all figured out, and we're going to continue to test and we're going to continue to try. You know, one re-engagement campaign that doesn't work, there may be one next time that does, and it really brings more active leads into the pipeline. And so for me, it was an easy sell, because ultimately I said, here's the data, here's where we've been, here's where we want to go, and I think we can get here continuing to use this, and you can't deny that.
I think that's so true, and Marketo Sales Insight is a great product. It basically takes the power of marketing automation that heretofore has been available primarily to marketers, and it gives it to the salesperson. I mean, if I'm a salesperson, I want to know how my prospects and how my opportunities are acting. I want to be able to read that digital body language, and I want to be aware of what's going on so I can make better pursuit decisions. And that's really what the Marketo Sales Insight does. So one of the constant themes in your testing and your experimentation language is, you know, it's all about getting better conversions, better conversions, better conversions. And conversions come, to your point, Sally, that comes across all the way across the life of a lead. So could you tell us, our listeners, what are some specific experiments that you ran that helped you understand how to improve conversions?
Sure. One that I'll mention, because it was a huge failure, was my first re-engagement campaign. So people who hadn't had 90 days of activity, I wanted to re-engage with them so that I could keep them included in the Bronto name, included in the Bronto activities, you know, really, really press them into us. And I decided, you know what, we're going to do a free trial. Free trial, everybody loves them. I found out really quickly, not only through the stats on the failure of it, but from talking with, you know, the lead qualification team and the sales team, well, if they're not engaged, they're probably not going to re-engage with you on a free trial. And so it took some learning for me to say, you know what, you're right. What would be the best way to bring them back in? And we found out, you know what, it's white papers. It's knowledge base. That's what's going to keep bringing them back. Maybe they're not in a good place to be in the sales cycle yet or to be an opportunity, but we want to keep top of mind for them. And so we found out the best re-engagement campaign was to send them fresh content. So here's some blog posts that we thought would be of interest to you, and we can do some smart list around that. Some smart segmentation. Here's some white papers that we just released that have some really great content that you can do some actionable email marketing today through our white papers. And we found that they were much more engaged, and so I brought them back. It kept them clicking, whereas before I was getting a zero, well, it wasn't zero. It was like a 3 or 4% click rate on a free trial, and it really taught me quickly, you know what? They don't care about the free trial. And so I had to stop thinking within just my marketing vacuum of what drives conversions, because free trials do really well for an opportunity conversion, but that's only if they're in the right stage of the cycle and say, okay, let me communicate with these other teams and stop just thinking marketing vacuum and start thinking, I don't want necessarily the end result to be an opportunity conversion right now. I just want them to be re-engaged with us and start thinking about us again, and know that we're industry experts on email marketing, and we've had significantly much greater success with that. It's like a 37-38% click-through rate versus a 4-5.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a huge jump on the click-through rate. Very, very, very high. Okay, I love it. I love it when people I interview are confident enough to share their failures. I think we often learn more from failures than we do from the very, very best things that we did. So any other examples of experimentation? A lot of times people ask me, you know, do you test, should I do graphics in my email? Should I do, you know, text? Should I, you know, try different subject lines? Have you guys run any types of tests like that, Sally?
We have, and we've also run some tests around actually branded versus non-branded. And what we've found is that for us specifically, there's been very little difference or differentiator between the branded versus non-branded, which I was very surprised by because, you know, as our sales team interacts one-to-one, there's a significant difference between branded and non-branded because people respond better if they really feel like it's one-to-one from a salesperson, which means that they are using really a text-based component versus this very HTML-branded campaign that's sent out, even if it's sent out one-to-one. So we decided we want to experiment because are people going to be more engaged with our marketing automation if we do a text version versus an HTML version? And we actually found that it wasn't that different in terms of who clicked through. And I think a lot of that has to do, and this is just my assumption, with it's behavioral. You know, they're expecting something from us if they respond to a campaign, or maybe even if they are engaging with us and downloading our product collateral, they like seeing that brand reinforced, and it doesn't make that big of a difference to not have the text version. So that's one of the other ways that we've actually experimented. I'll tell you, the thing that we experiment the most with is our offers. So the things, the content that we're sending to them has been the biggest thing that we've tweaked and really tried to hone in on the pulse of what they want to do. And so it's been a lot of experimentation because when do you do a demo in the life cycle? When do you do a free trial in the life cycle? When is it appropriate to really push your social sharing? When is it appropriate to push your knowledge base, so your knowledge center components? When is it really key to bring in a case study and show how successful Bronto's been with helping a client? And so those are the things that we've tested and we've experimented with, and we change on a weekly basis, it feels like sometimes, because it's not the right mix or it wasn't the right opportunity at the right time. And so how do we make that work again? We've also experimented with our webcast. And so webcast trade shows, event-driven components, and how we funnel that through our marketing automation and make it really smart in how they engage with us and how we funnel leads through, because events can bring in a lot of names and a lot of leads, and how do we make proper use of marketing automation to engage with them and also to make certain that we're funneling them through at the right time.
So give us an example of what you guys have done either around a webcast or a trade show with marketing automation, and kind of the difference that made on your business?
Sure. So for trade show, we had a very loose trade show follow-up plan previously, and we decided we wanted to be much more proactive because you get some really great people from trade shows, and you can also, you're having one-to-one conversations with them from the sales team, and so we wanted to make certain we had a great follow-up plan. So we actually created, you know, this process plan of, okay, if we do a trade show, we're going to bring in their information. We're going to send a follow-up campaign that says, you know, thank you so much for visiting our booth, stopping by. If we can do some really dynamic content around it, we're going to do dynamic content because we've taken good notes at the trade show. And then based on those that are engaging with us, we're going to score them a little higher, and we're going to filter them through so that we can convert them quickly. And we've found that they do convert more quickly, and we produce more qualified opportunities from trade shows now just by having a strategic plan around marketing automation, how the sales team engages, when the sales team engages, and when the lead qualification team engages. And it was mapping that out, and we didn't get it right the first time, maybe not even the second time, but by the third time, we have a really smooth, well-oiled machine that we can continue to replicate.
I think that's a great story. I get questions all the time about how you use marketing automation around trade shows or events to help improve conversions. And again, I just love your, Sally, your sense of experimentation. And, you know, you get out there and you try something. And what I like to tell people is typically with marketing automation, when you try something, when you experiment with it, you know, no animals are going to be harmed in the process. Nobody's hurt. You know, you just, you know, as long as those trends continue to go up in the right way, that is the most important thing, okay? So I want to ask you again, this whole notion of, you know, I didn't know what I didn't know when I started this process. So as you reflect on your sense of experimentation and the way you approach doing testing, and I think it's great that your company supports that, what was one of your biggest ahas along the way?
You know, for me, the biggest aha really was the sales insight. Because it's not only making certain, you know, I have a good grasp on what's going on. I really needed to give them more visibility, the lead qualification team and the sales team, visibility into what we were doing. And, you know, you wouldn't think that's an aha moment, but it really is, because how can they really have relevant conversations if they don't know where that lead's been and how they've engaged with you? And so my aha moment was when my lead qualification team came up to me and said, we don't know what's going on all the time and we want to. And I said, well, that makes a lot of sense, and I'm not certain why I didn't get there before you. And so it was really, it was an aha moment. And then we had the sales team say, we're excited about this. We want to be able to use this. We want to even be able to use it for prospecting and see how we can be smart about that. And they're excited and engaged about it. And so for me, that was my big aha moment. Apparently, lead qualification and the sales team want just as much information as the marketing team does.
Imagine that. Especially the kind of information that's available. Absolutely. So tell me, you're talking, and I know you speak a lot and you get in front of a lot of different kinds of audiences, but as you reflect on our conversation around experimentation and testing, if you were speaking to someone that was just now beginning their demand generation journey, what one or two or three pieces of advice, Sally, would you give them around testing and experimentation?
Sure. The biggest thing I would say is don't be afraid to test. The reality is that, as you mentioned, no one's going to get hurt in the process, and you're only going to be able to refine it and make it better. The second thing I would say is, while you're testing, don't think in the marketing vacuum, because what's valuable to you may not actually be valuable to your prospects and your customers. And the person that's going to know that best isn't always marketing. It's going to be sales, and it's going to be, if you have a lead qualification team, it's going to be the people that are actually engaging with people. And
yep.
So I think that would be the second thing that I would reiterate. And then the third thing I think, is to always trend your metrics, because if you're not taking a look at them at all, you're not going to know what's working and what isn't. So when you're out there and you're trying new things, make certain you have some benchmarks so that you can say, okay, here's where I was, here's where I want to go, here's where I am after testing this time, where can I go next? Because it's really hard to define steps if you don't have benchmarks and you don't have a plan.
So did you find that what you measured changed over time?
I think we continue to change what we measure because, you know, one day the conversion rate on acquisition seems really important. But the next day, or even the next year, and this was true for us, we really, really focused on how many leads we brought in and how cost-effective we were with our cost, but our spend for those leads. But the reality is that if you're not doing anything with those leads, it doesn't matter if you had a $6 cost per lead because you didn't turn it into anything. And so, you know, it became, well, how many qualified opportunities, how many qualified leads are we bringing in that we can then hopefully drive revenue toward? And so I think that that will continue to change. You know, how many qualified opportunities, what's the value of those qualified opportunities? I think that it will continue to reiterate as our company evolves and changes.
I think that's great advice. And, again, I think quite often I always counsel marketers what you measure will change over time, because the learning process, not just for you, but for the entire company, with what's possible with marketing automation, changes your whole process. Your whole approach to sales and marketing completely changes. So let me sum up the advice. I love this advice, Sally. Number one, don't be afraid to test. Number two, don't think in the marketing vacuum. Love that piece of advice. And number three, always trend your metrics. Would you add anything else to that?
I would just say, don't be scared to try it.
I love that. I could not agree more. Don't be scared to try it. Well, Sally, you have been great today. Thank you so much for your time. We will make Sally's interview available in our Demand Generation Essential Series. And if you are not registered, you can go to our website. That's www.pedowitzgroup.com. And you can register in the left-hand column of our homepage. And, Sally, thank you so much for sharing your insight on testing and experimentation with us today.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.